that you would come, give the anointing to your servants, Lord God, that your people might hear your words. Let them be the words of Almighty God and not merely the words of men. Let us decrease, Lord Jesus, that you might increase, and send your word forth to accomplish its purpose in the lives of your people. Let us be found hungry for you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we have been talking about pursue as the word for the year. Amen.
Amen.
We are in the year of pursue, pursuit, pursuing. And so we are on the part R here, but I just want to recap a little bit because these are the things that we're in pursuit of, and so we need to keep these things in front of us. How many of you look, you go into a place that you've never been before, and you pull out your map. Now, I know some people have their GPS that talks, but actually pull out a map. Let's pretend all of the electronics in the world died, and you only have a map. Some of you will go. Everybody should have a map. Pearson's Graphic puts out a nice $20 map that cab drivers, real estate agents, and people who need to know the city, drivers, always have handy. Pearson's Graphics, yes. I'm telling you, so. And if you have AAA, you can go get them for free. So everybody should have a map, right? But when you go someplace that you don't know, do you just open that map up and go, oh, got it? No, you keep that map in front of you as you're going down the road, right? That's what we're going to be talking about, which is we're in pursuit of the kingdom of God, the things of God, the restoration of God, and in pursuit of the enemies of God. Amen?
Amen? And then remember, to accomplish this, we have to pursue the voice of God, which we talked about that Tuesday night. If you were not with us Tuesday night, the CDs hopefully will be available soon. We were talking about the fact that Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow after me. My sheep know my voice. So don't say, I can't hear the voice of God. Learn how to know and hear the voice of God. We need to be in pursuit of the ways of God. How does God do things? Lord, you teach me your ways, not my ways, but your ways. Jesus said, the way, the truth, and the life. If I want to walk in truth and life, I need to walk according to his ways. And in order to know his ways, we have to seek after the heart of God. Because as you seek after the heart of God, what you'll get is understanding, like we talked about last Sunday. As you begin to get understanding, that comes from the heart of God, seeking after his heart. Now I know which way to go. Now I have understanding.
And then we need purpose. We talked about purpose. The first thing that everyone needs is purpose. Can I tell you one of the leading reasons for depression, confusion, frustration is a lack of purpose? This is one of the things that I have told men for years. I believe every man should work. I don't care what your level of sickness or inability is. You should have work, even if it is not paid work, doing something. Absolutely with a purpose, doing something. Now, this really stretches to all of us. Why? Because we are a purpose people. Look, Rick Warren wrote a book, 40 Days of Purpose, or whatever, Purpose Driven Life. Can I tell you why that resonated so much? Because we need purpose. Everybody is looking for purpose. I mean, it's a joke that people look for the meaning of life because they're looking for a purpose. And so we need to have that purpose. You must purpose to know what we are pursuing. We must purpose to know what we're pursuing, or we'll just endlessly walk up aimlessly around, right? We don't know where the end of the map is. We just see a couple of steps and then we just, I don't know where I'm going. So we've got to have purpose and be on purpose. and be purposeful as we're pursuing.
It's such a miserable place to be when you always just feel like you're chasing. That's reactive living. When you have a purpose, then you're out in front and you're proactively living. And then last Sunday we talked again about understanding. U is for understanding. Proverbs 19:8 says, "He who cherishes understanding prospers." He who cherishes understanding prospers. And though it get all you have, though it cost all you have, get understanding. Because we can know what to do and we can know what we want to pursue, but it is understanding exactly how to pursue that that is going to make you successful in that way.
Amen. Amen. He who cherishes understanding, not just has. I tell you, a lot of people have understanding. You must cherish it, hold on to it, and allow it to be life-giving to you. You cherish that which is precious to you, right? Come on, I'm preaching better than you're talking.
I do.
Look, you cherish that's what's precious to you.
Amen.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. All right, are you ready for R?
Yes.
Righteousness. Righteousness. Purpose, understanding, righteousness. A big word. A big word with a big meaning. Proverbs 21:21. He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Amen?
Amen?
And in the New King James, he who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. Now listen to the Amplified. Listen to the Amplified. I like the Amplified Bible for this reason. It expands a lot of thoughts, puts them in words sometimes that you don't. It says, he who earnestly seeks after and craves righteousness, mercy, and loving kindness will find life in addition to righteousness, uprightness and right standing with God, and honor.
Amen.
I want you to... He does what? I love it. You know what a craving is? Pregnant ladies, ladies who have been pregnant. No, you never had cravings? Bethy had cravings.
Lies.
Lying in church. Oh, God forgive her. Oh, she was not lying, Lord.
We'll lie in church, Ananias
and Sapphira.
She
was lying now, saying she was not lying. Okay, so.
You are as Job red as Ron Blaine's
13:5. Job 13:5. For you to be altogether silent, because now you're embarrassed. I'm having a good time. But see, to crave something. I remember, Bethy, when she was pregnant with Cody, she craved grapefruit. Now, this is 27 years ago. She craved grapefruit. Now, when do people crave things typically?
Middle of the night.
Yes. So at 1 o'clock in the morning, she goes, it didn't matter.
It was.
This is in the days when the only thing open was 7-Eleven. I'm just telling you, we're in Portland. There's only 7-Elevens open, and at 1 o'clock, she rolls over and goes, I really need a grapefruit. The all-night fruit stand, I'm sure, is open. So I get in my car, and I go, baby, I will get you whatever you want. And so I drive around. I'm like, 7-Eleven, you wouldn't happen to have any grapefruit, would you? There's no. And so I went I went around to every store. Walmarts were not even, they weren't even there. We didn't even have Walmart. We had Fred Meyer, which at that time they were not 24-hour either. And so I'm running around, and I went miles and miles, and I finally ended up at a store that had grapefruit sherbet. I was as close as I could come, and grapefruit juice. So I come home.
He was going a long
she
time.
She is solid. It was. I'm going all over the country. And I come home and I go, you will eat this.
Wake up, baby. I'm like, what?
And she's like, I just need to.
Right.
So the next day, the next morning, I was at Safeway and I got the largest bag of grapefruit I could find. I made her one that next morning. She ate it, and she didn't eat another one the whole time she was pregnant with it. Isn't that the way cravings are? But see, this is what we're supposed to crave is righteousness.
Amen.
Mercy and loving kindness. Earnestly seek after. What is it to earnestly seek after? It means you got to make an effort. Earnestly means honestly. It's like this. You know the movie Evan Almighty, where she's like, I go to church. And they go, you go to church? And she goes, well, I've been to church. And sometimes that's what we do. We say we're earnestly seeking. I went to church. I mean, I even took my Bible. I left it in the car in the parking lot. So I had my Bible at church, right? See, that's not earnestly seeking after. And craving, I'll just say, a woman after chocolate. I'm just saying, a woman after chocolate, that is how we should crave righteousness, mercy, and loving kindness.
Amen.
This is the woman who is not like standing at the door of the store going, open, open, open. She's going, open. Right? That's how we should be pursuing earnestly and craving righteousness. Here's what righteousness is. This is a key to write down. Righteousness is uprightness and right standing with God. Uprightness and right standing with God. See, that's what we're supposed to be craving after. When you're in right standing with God, you're going to be successful at the things that you pursue. Why? Because you'll be pursuing the things that are of God.
That's right.
So if you're upright and in right standing with God, because people are like, oh, you just put on your Christian and then you just go do whatever you want. You know, that scripture that says you have not because you ask not, but or you ask amiss.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you, if you're in right standing and upright with God, you're not going to ask amiss.
That's right.
Because that means you're upright and right standing. What is right standing? Right standing means you're in the proper place, the proper mindset, and the proper focus. You are headed the right direction. And so you're not going to go, okay, Jesus, I love you. I want a new Cadillac and a new house, and I want this, and I want my neighbor to move because I don't like him, and I want... See, that is, you're not going to do that. You're going to pursue the things of God.
When you're in that right standing with God, you are in that place of oneness with God. Right?
See, because if you're in that right standing place of God, you will succeed. Here's why. Because if God is for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
Because apart from him, you can do nothing, but with him, all things are possible to them that believe.
Amen. Scripture says that whatever the righteous man commits his hands to, not just any man, whatever the righteous man commits his hands to, God will cause to prosper. Scripture says, though a righteous man fall seven times, he shall what?
Arise.
He shall arise. Scripture says a righteous man shall be rescued from trouble.
Scripture also says a righteous man escapes trouble. A righteous man reaps a sure reward. A righteous man has great joy.
says he will be remembered forever. He attains life. The righteous man cannot be uprooted. This is some good stuff. I'm going to tell you, when you're in right standing with God, you can't go wrong.
A righteous man utters wisdom and speaks what is right. A righteous man, his children are blessed. A righteous man, his lips nourish many.
Righteous, scripture said, are as bold as a lion. They can sing for joy and be glad. They lead a blameless life. I'm going to tell you, when you are in right standing with God, what you pursue, those things of God, you're going to hit that mark. When you are in right standing with God, you will be successful in what you pursue. And like he said, you're not going to pursue wrong things because you're in right standing with God. When you're not in right standing with God, it's really easy for you to get pushed off track. You ever been in not right standing with God? It's real easy. When you try to pursue something and you're not in that right standing, just like a train, and the next thing you know, you're pushed right off a track. It's easy. Think about a railroad track. If there's a bunny on a railroad track, it's real easy to scare it off the tracks. It's real easy to push it off the tracks. But have you ever walked up and screamed at a train and had it fall off the tracks? You ever walked up and tried to push on a train? No. Get it off the tracks? No. Why? Because a train is right where it's supposed to be. And you're not going to be able to move it from its right place.
Look, it is where it's supposed to be. It's on the tracks, not in the dirt. See, it is exactly positioned in the place that is supposed to be. It's in right standing. It is pursuing the course that it is set upon. Like us, we are supposed to be pursuing the course that we're set upon. And it's in an upright position. How many of you have ever ridden a train that was on its side?
Don't want to. I don't want to. There you go.
You know, like that ship, if you put that ship out here in the middle of Broomfield, it would be as useless as it is right now, laying on its side in the ocean. Because it is not on its course. It is not where it's supposed to be. It's not in right standing. When we're in right standing with God, we are like that train on those tracks. My grandfather was a railroad engineer. I grew up around trains. Can I tell you what? You don't just bump them off the track. Feel free to stand in front of one of them and yell stop. But I'm going to tell you, see, that track is where they are intended to run. Right? I mean, that is what train tracks are for. See, when we are in right standing, then we are in the upright position. Our course, our pursuit is set. And nothing can push us off of that. When we're in right standing, man, like I said, go over to right over here by Omira and find one of those trains, one of those locomotives that's about, I don't know, 50 tons, and see if you can move it. I'm just going to tell you, go ahead. Take a friend. Take two. Take your whole family. Take grandma, grandpa. Bring as many people as you know. You might could move it towards the tracks. Try to push it off the tracks.
When we're in right standing, like in these scriptures, when we're in right standing, whatever gets in our way gets run over. Remember, what does the Bible say? Resist the devil and he must flee. I'm going to tell you what, if you're like that train and you're in right standing and I'm going the direction I'm supposed to go, I don't care how many devils jump in front of you, you're going to run right over the top of them. You know what your resistance is? Your resistance is, I'm going right through you. I'm going right over the top of you. I'm going to resist you. I'm in right standing with God. And if you stand in front of me, I'm going right over the top of you. The other thing that happens is those enemies that are pursuing you is they get destroyed in the wake of your pursuit. You know how I know that? Look at Scripture. Remember when the children of Israel, they're in right pursuit through the Red Sea. God said, go that way toward the promised land. And as they are in right pursuit, the very pursuit that they were supposed to go upon, as the enemies tried to follow them and devour them from behind, they were destroyed in the wake. And if you will get in right standing with God, then the devils that are coming after you are going to get destroyed in your pursuit.
Amen. See, because here's the beauty. If you read the armor of God, You remember the armor of God from Ephesians. There's nothing behind you. Do you know why? Because God's word says that he is our rear guard.
Amen.
You don't have to worry. That's why you shouldn't run and flee in front of the enemy, because you got no armor on. That's like a hospital gown. Hello, there's a visual for you. See, that's why you should always face your enemy, because you have the full armor of God on, and mm-hmm. the fiery darts of the enemy come at you. God is your rear guard. He is guarding the enemy from pursuing you. See, look, again, man can push or scare like a rabbit off of the tracks. Can I tell you, you can even push or scare somebody off of the tracks? We used to have this train trestle. And I used to tell my friends, look, I grew up around these things. Don't be playing on that. Can I tell you that on more than one occasion, they would be jacking around trying to fish off of the trestle or whatever. I don't know why kids do that. Because, a bridge for a train is called a trestle. Anyway, sorry.
I didn't know what it was either. I was just following the story, Brandy.
So a bridge that a train goes over is called a trestle. Anyway, so they would be standing on there. Well, if you know how train trestles are built, there is nothing but wood and track. And it was about 100 yards. And there's nowhere to go when the train comes except off. And they're all like, yeah, let's go fishing. I'm like, I'll fish from the shore down here. You guys, I'm just going to tell you, you don't stand in front of a train. My grandfather was an engineer, and in the latter years of his career, one of the reasons he retired was because somebody got in front of his train. And can I tell you, a 115-car train that weighs several hundred thousand tons does not stop. And this person never moved. And they picked up what was left of them. I'm going to tell you, see, look, that train, when that man was there, it didn't derail that train. Can I tell you? The enemy is like that. When you're on the righteous path and he stands in front of you, if he does not move, jump off, out of your way, you know what's going to happen to him? He is going to be destroyed himself, and his plans will come to nothing.
Now, he may send another one to jump in another 100 feet down. You ever feel like, I'm going the right way, but they just keep jumping in front of me? Well, they're doing their job. You just do yours. Just keep going. Just keep running over there. That's right. Just keep running them over. Just keep running them over. Just keep running them over. And don't look behind you, because like God's got that taken care of. He's got you. You go fast enough, and you stay in right standing enough. You're going to create a big enough wake like the Red Sea, and it's just going to come right over the top of them. You just keep going.
See, when you're headed on that track and you're in right standing, you're not going to get derailed. Here's what causes derailments: poorly maintained track. Poorly maintained track. A foreign object on the track, like a semi. Or I had a friend who ran Rio Grande's up here in the mountains, and part of the mountain shifted and pushed a boulder about 12 inches into the way of a train. And when the locomotive came, it hit that boulder and it fired it off into the cliff, dumped 50 cars down on the cliff. Because, see, they pay people to ride those tracks, those pickup trucks. They pay people to ride those tracks to do what? Maintain them, keep foreign objects out of the way, make sure the track isn't broken. Can I tell you? That's another thing. When your track gets broken, it's not that hard to get off and derailed. Mm-hmm. The other thing, there can be a washout. Up in our Colorado mountains, sometimes you get that little flash flood river, and the next thing, Bethy and I were on a train one time going through Glenwood, and that was exactly what happened. They're like, "Ah, oh, ladies and gentlemen, we're stopped here." We're like, "Well, this is kind of scenic." And they're like, "The track in front of us has washed out." Okay, well, let's sit here. This is good for me. I'm just fine. We can go back for all I care.
Can't go backwards. Not forward.
Backwards works for me. Because I'm not about going over some washed out track. So what did they have to do? They had to shore that up, restructure it to make sure that it was sound.
Before we went forward. See, sometimes we try to go forward when we're not in right standing.
It was about a 2-hour delay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you play a little cribbage, it's all right.
I don't know how big it was. I really didn't want to know how big it was. As we went by, we were just like this. Yeah, Lord, keep us safe. Because, see, that's what will derail you. In 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart."
Now, I want to talk to you about this, because when a train derails, man cannot pick that train back up by himself. His power is not great enough. Go find a train that's laying on its side and see if you can lift it and put it in.
How many of you remember the train that was right up here on Wadsworth Boulevard? Did you see that when that thing went off? Yeah, between American Furniture Warehouse, between 92nd and 104th, there's a big curve there. And it came around that big curve and just, I'm talking, the sound they said was devastating. Just caught metal, the sound of metal everywhere.
If a train derails, man does not have enough power within himself to put it back. And if it gets on its side, man does not have enough power within him to take that train and put it upright once again. And although we are supposed to pursue righteousness, Scripture says, we need to remember that righteousness is a work of God. Being in right standing with God is a work of His work, not our works. It is because of His work on the cross, not because of our works in the flesh. Scripture said it's because He shed His blood, not because we sweat. Your righteousness, your right standing, is a work of Jesus, not of your doing.
It wasn't our blood that was shed on Calvary. And it is not by your works that you will find righteousness. See, righteousness is your works. Jesus gave us righteousness, and when we do works that are godly, they are righteousness. Yeah. It's not that we have manufactured them. It is the fruit of His righteousness in us that causes us to do those things. It's why in the book of James, He says, "Show me your faith and I'll show you my works." Why? Because it was righteousness. My faith is righteous in Christ, and therefore my works are righteous in Christ. It is not by my works that I am made righteous. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So look, here it's like this. Here I come. Here's my righteousness. I'm going to give it to Jesus. It says it's as filthy rags. Anyway, that's not... It's not anything that we have to offer. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, "There is not a righteous man on the earth who does what is right and never sins." How can you be right? There's not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. You mean you can be righteous and sin? Because you're in right standing. There's a difference. We think, I'm riding along on the tracks and I sin. The whole thing is crashed over. It depends on, is that your direction? Did you saw the track off? Did you let it corrode? Did you not maintain it? Or was it simply, we hit an obstacle? We're still on track. I'm righteous. I am a righteous man, and I am going forward. Amen?
A right standing with God, again, is the work of Jesus. This is where people get off track. godliness is godlikeness. That's the way we treat people. That's the decisions that we make. Those things should be out of the overflow of your right standing with God. But again, righteousness, that is not your work. That is the work of Jesus Christ. And Scripture tells us that. Turn to Ephesians 2. We're going to read 8 and 9.
Ephesians chapter 2. In King James, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." In the New International Version, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." All right? Now, unless you have an Amplified Bible, just listen to me.
Do you have that version, Noel? The Amplified? Okay, no problem.
Just listen to this. I want you to... What you just heard, now listen to this in the Amplified. "For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation, through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving. But it is the gift of God, not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take glory for himself."
If one man could put himself in right standing to receive eternal life, then Jesus never had to come.
See,
and everything we've been believing is wrong. He is the only way to be in right standing is through the blood of Jesus Christ.
See, all have sinned. All have sinned. We just read, "Not a righteous man on the earth." That's why Christ came. Because we, from our father Adam, we're born with a sin nature. And the second Adam came to wipe that debt away so that we could walk in righteousness, which is right standing with God. Only by Christ. See, the Pharisees thought that by keeping the laws, they put these little phylacteries on their heads and on their hands, and they kept God's word in those little things, and they tried to keep all the laws. And they stood before Jesus, and Jesus said, "You whitewashed sepulchers," or tombs, "filled with dead men's bones." And in the book of Revelation, we read about it. It says, "Many will come saying, 'Lord, Lord, we did things in your name. We cast out devils and healed the sick.'" And he said, "Be gone from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." See, the Pharisees thought that by their works they could accomplish. They thought, and they were taught, it was the works of righteousness. The rich young ruler, "I've kept all the laws. What must I do to be saved?" "Sell everything you have and give it to the poor." "Bummer. I got a thing, Jesus." Why? Because, see, God knows what righteousness is. And it's not about what we look like or what we think we look like. People come to church and they put on all their, like, "Look at me. I have my giant family Bible and I'm all walking righteous." And then I see them at King Supers, slam the door, yell and cuss at their kids, shove their wife into the car, and then come back to church. "Got my Bible still." Can I tell you, That is not righteousness. Righteousness is right standing. It's our craving for those things. Righteousness and peace. You see, those things, Paul knew and taught this was a gift of God. Righteousness is a gift that Christ gave us. We didn't do anything. And you can't do anything. I've been saved a long time. I haven't sinned in 6 minutes. And I mean, but I mean, this is the we're trying to stand on our righteousness. Isaiah says, it's filthy rags. If you put on your righteousness and go stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you are toast. Lest we lay ourselves down and say, I am of no value, no repute. Everything I have is filthy rags except you.
That's right.
That's when it says, like in the book of Daniel, give him a clean turban. Give him a robe of white and sandals for his feet.
Jesus puts us in right standing with the Father. Then our desires are to be godly. Why? Because then we're a witness. Your God-likeness. What did Jesus say? What's the 11th commandment? Remember the 11th commandment? The new commandment I give unto you.
Did you know there was 11? Who didn't know there was 11 commandments?
New commandment I give unto you. You must love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. John 13:34-35. That's what I call the 11th commandment.
See, because he said, in this is all the law and the prophets. So the first 10 commandments, this was the law. And then the prophets gave us the utterance that there would be a Messiah. And when he said, love one another as I have loved you, he said, this is all the law and the prophets. This is the greatest commandment. So this is the fulfillment. I love this. Jesus, bottom line. This is the kind of guy I am. Give me the bottom line. Don't give me some big, just tell me what the bottom line is. Jesus said, all right, let me bottom line this for you. Love one another as I have loved you. And love your neighbor as yourself. This is all the law and the prophets. Take everything and put it through that. And then you will find truth.
Turning your Bibles to Romans 10. Verses 1 through 10. Here, I'll let you read.
Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Amen. I'm going to read that again, verse 4. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Who believes in what? Christ. Okay. Follow after me. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. And who is our righteousness?
When man derails, he needs a Savior named Jesus Christ to put him back on track. When he gets sideways, to try to upright that load, is too heavy for him. He's going to need a Savior to come and get him upright one more time. The reason that people miss righteousness is because they try to get upright on their own and they never can get there. And then they miss salvation altogether. Or they're just laying there on the side and they don't want to get upright anyway and they miss salvation because they don't want to be upright. I don't want to get things right. This is what I want to do and I want to lay here and I want to be off track. And well, then you're going to miss salvation too. But sheep need a shepherd. And they need a shepherd to get them upright when they get upside down. Do you know that if a sheep gets himself upside down onto his back, that it is very, very difficult for him to get himself upright? In fact, some of them can't. The shepherd will actually leave his flock. If this poor sheep is upside down like a turtle, he will actually leave those that are upright and he'll wander over there and help that poor little sheep that's on its back to turn it over and get it upright so that it doesn't die there.
Now see, folk wisdom, wives' tales say that a sheep on its back can't survive, can't turn itself over. Not necessarily true, but there are some sheep called Suffolk that are very prone to this. They live in kind of rocky areas and they're domesticated and they'll fall into rocky places and they literally cannot get themselves upright. Now, in the middle of a field, they can get themselves up, but they'll fall into craggy, rocky places, and sheep, as I have told you before, are not one of the most glorious of God's creatures as far as I am concerned. And yet he calls us the sheep of his field. So what happens is the flock, when they find one of these sheep that falls in a rocky place and can't get themselves up, actually, sometimes the herd will go and help them.
Upright that sheep.
Upright them.
Amen.
Mm. Hmm. And we're the what of his field? So what are we supposed to do when you see your brother going,
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yeah. Don't press the button. Call for help. I've fallen and I can't get up. Now,
like
how close are
sheep?
We, Andy?
Right,
are we
I
ready?
I want to show you this.
Okay.
This is what happens. Imagine yourself.
Here's a visual.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
There we are.
This is us.
I've fallen. I can't get. I'm trying to get upright.
Okay, wait a minute.
Come on, I can do it.
All right. Okay. Okay, I'm going to try. My works. I'm going to.
Go church
okay,
more.
Okay, hang on.
Read
okay.
more.
Wait. Left leg. Right leg.
Oh, I can't
right.
get
it. Oh, my.
Try
oh
some
my.
More. Try some more.
Oh, I'm fine. So tired. Right there, Andy.
All
now,
right.
Now, look. Now, I want to tell you, how many of you is that?
I'm trying to
I
write
mean,
myself.
Seriously.
Come on.
Don't we do that? We're like, okay. I got this, God.
I'm gonna pray a little more.
Wait a minute. Wait, I just throw myself a little this way. I'll just read my Bible a little more. I'll just pray a little more. I'm trying to get upright. It's not yours to get upright. You should be doing those things as a fruit of your righteousness, not to try and gain your uprightness.
Come on.
See, that's the fruit of it. And like, Jesus, I'm on my back and I look stupid and I can't get up. Help me, Jesus. That's what we need to do. And then say, Lord, I'm calling on your righteousness. Put me back on the track.
Come on.
See, instead of us trying to do it, because then what happens? You get tired. You get frustrated. You get angry with God. I hear it all the time. I tried. I tried that church thing. It just didn't work. I tried. That's what we're doing. See, you're like that silly sheep laying on your back trying to get over. You got to call some help.
Come on.
Everybody come over and push you back over. Oh, hey. Well, it's a lot better over here. Or you just say, Shepherd, help me. And they come over with his little shepherd's staff, and they just turn you over. Then you'll be upright, and then what do? You get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
So you get back on track.
You know, sometimes, every once in a while, that sheep will get themselves back upright. And sometimes we might be able to get ourselves somewhat upright. But the problem is, by the time we do, we are so tired. And we are so worn out. And we are so frustrated because it took us so long to get upright that I can't enjoy my position because I'm so tired, I'm so exhausted, I'm so irritated.
Gotta
and what
catch
is
up with
all
the
this
flock?
Stuff on my back? And so I'm busy with all this stuff that got accumulated on my back while I'm rolling around on my back that now that I'm finally upright, and I don't even know where to go when I could have just said, Lord, help me. I have fallen and I need a Savior. And I want to be in right standing with you. And I know that my works got me right here. But your grace will come and put me in back right, in right standing with you. In Proverbs 15:9, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Again, this needs to be a pursuit. But you must remember, as you pursue righteousness, that it is Christ's work alone. It is his work on the cross and his power alone that puts you in right standing and will keep you in right standing. The power of God on the inside of you and the work that he did long before you is what puts you in right standing and keeps you in right standing as you pursue after the righteous things of God.
See, I remember this young man. He was supposed to marry our pastor's daughter, and he was unsaved. He was in a bad way, and I had an opportunity to spend a lot of time with him. And I said, son, you realize you're on the wrong track. And he said, uh-huh. Well, there, at least he's got some wisdom. And I said, you realize what you're marrying into and that you need to get yourself. You don't have the capability to be a good husband and a good provider and a good father without God in your life. And he said, yeah, I know. I just need to get some things out of my life, and then I'm going to get right with God. Right? He's that sheep with those legs kicking. I'm going to get right, and then I'll come to God. I said, son, you will be old and gray and die before you get enough out of your life to get right with God.
That's right.
See, you got it all backwards. You got to come to God to get right.
Amen.
You can't get right and go to God.
Amen.
Otherwise, Jesus was a fool to come and lay down his life. But he's not. He's the Savior. He's the Creator. And he said, you have to come to me to find righteousness. See, a man pursuing righteousness outside of Christ is a man on an empty journey. They're really nice people. Can I tell you? They're really nice people. But you know what? What they think is a tunnel that's heading them into eternity is like Wile E. Coyote, where he paints the black on the hillside and puts the tracks right up to the edge. Right? Only without Christ, you're going headlong into eternity, which is the end. By the end, I mean it's only the end of your believing.
That's right.
That you're headed the right direction. Because there is wailing and gnashing of teeth at the end of that. You see, we have got to lean on him. In Isaiah 51:1, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness. Who's that?
Are you listening?
Wait a minute. Who's that? You. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness. Who's pursuing righteousness here? Put your hand in the air if you're pursuing righteousness. If you're not pursuing righteousness, this is going to get really ugly. And who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn.
Come on.
I want you to get... Will you grab a hold of that? Who are we supposed to? If you're pursuing righteousness and you are seeking after the Lord, here's the answer. When God says, listen to me, what should you do?
Listen.
Thank you. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn.
The rock from which you were cut is the rock of all ages. It's Jesus Christ. We just sang that song. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Apart from him, you can do nothing. Apart from him, you are nothing. Apart from him, you can attain nothing. Apart from him, you can accomplish nothing. Look to the rock from which you were cut. You were cut from the rock of all ages, Jesus Christ. Look unto him.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, right? You remember that? Moses hid himself in the cleft of the rock. Now look, let me hide myself in thee. That rock, look to the rock from which you were cut, and the quarry from which you were hewn. That's your heritage.
Amen.
That is the heritage that you have. It's your father. It's your grandfather. It's your great-grandfather. Now, some of us look to that quarry and go, how did they get diamonds out of that gravel pit? Right? Here's how. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Daniel, David. Why? Because we are of the lineage.
That's right.
Right there. And so that is the quarry. Sometimes there's a bunch of gravel that needs to be moved. But you got to remember, in that quarry is the finest diamonds that God has. And you are drawn from that.
Amen.
Into him. Because we've got to look to the rock from which you were cut. Amen. That godly heritage from where you came from. And if you look at your heritage back and you go, wow, that ain't very pretty. That looks like a bad episode of Jerry Springer. You know what?
Dig deeper.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. Look further.
See, it's like when you stand in there in the living room and all you can see is what's in the living room, get your binoculars out and look out the front window. Oh, yeah. Hey, there's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And look, there's Sarah. And there's all the children of God. Why? I can see them afar off. They are my heritage. And he has given me vision for them. That is who I am cut. That's a cloth that I am cut from. So many people go, well, I can't go any farther. My mom and dad were not. Okay, that works until you're about 10. Then you start making your own decisions. And you need to begin to start taking responsibility. Look, I have not had the best teachers. I have not had the best examples. But I have the living Word of God. I have all of the truth from Adam until Jesus.
That's right.
And I can walk in that because I have it. I don't
That's
have
right.
to manufacture some. I don't have to say, here's what the world says. Wait a minute. I was reincarnated. I once was a prince from Egypt. Right? I mean, see, this is what the world says. I have a great heritage. I was reincarnated as the king of Mesopotamia. Really? I said this the other day. Why isn't anybody ever reincarnated? I was a harlot in the gates of the city. I was a poop digger in the deepest part of. Nobody ever gets reincarnated. Why? Because they want a heritage. You have a heritage. You don't have to make yours up. You don't have to say, I'm descended from. You're descended from kings.
That's right.
And you are children of the king.
That's right. And you have a sister called Sarah and a sister called Esther and a sister called Ruth and a brother called Paul and a brother called Isaiah and a brother called Jeremiah and a brother called Abraham. I'm going to tell you what. You have been cut from the rock and you come from amazing stock. So you know what? We need to act like it. We need to live like it. Come on, we need to draw from it. On Christ the solid rock I stand. There's a line in there where it says, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Amen.
Amen.
Not by works of righteousness, which any one of us could do, but according to his mercy. You are cut from the rock and you come from amazing stock. Now live like it.
Psalm 15, verse 1 through 3. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary, who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, and who has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who is made righteous in Christ. Who is made righteous in Christ. That is, this, by human standard, unattainable. Right there?
That's right.
Okay, who's never told a lie? All right, we're all doomed. Or we have a Savior who is our righteousness,
Amen.
Who has become our righteousness. And in that, we are in right standing with God because we have been cut, hewn from that quarry. You know what hewn means? Man, it's worked out. It's mm-hmm. chiseled. It's torn out from that quarry and then made into the rock of ages.
Amen. Stand up on your feet as we close in worship. And if you're a sheep on your back, then run to the altar and say, Lord, get me upright. If you've fallen over on your side, you're the train that went blip, and you've been trying to figure out how to upright yourself, you come forward and say, Jesus, help me. Come pick me up. Come lift this heavy load off of me and put me in right standing with you again, Father. Forgive me. I don't know. I haven't been taking care of my track, and I ended up all the way over here. But, Lord, I'm running unto you, my only Savior. Put me on the track, the right track. Put me in right standing with you, my God and my King. And, Andy, will you close us in worship, please? Stand up to your feet. Oh, you do want to pray before they...
Lord Jesus, Father, we just ask you.